The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. One thing you should definitely know about me, if you don't already, is that I am a huge Harry Potter fan. I have read all of the books more times than I can count. I watch the movies regularly. I'm super into it. I'm actually kind of surprised that I've been preaching here for 4 months, and this is the first Sunday that Harry Potter has made it into my sermon. Rest assured, it will continue to be a recurring theme. So I'd like to begin with an example from the 7th Harry Potter book, which is the last book in the series. At the beginning of this last book, Harry and his two best friends, Ron and Hermione, are preparing to set out on a daunting and dangerous journey to defeat the most evil wizard of all time, Voldemort. There is great urgency to their task. Voldemort and his followers are taking over the country and leaving death and destruction in their wake. The only people who know how to defeat him are Harry, Ron, and Hermione. They understand that the fate of the world, the struggle between good and evil, rests on their shoulders. One could hardly imagine a more important task or a greater responsibility. So you would think that they would set out on this journey as soon as they possibly could. And that's what Harry wants to do. But his best friend Ron stops him. What, you might ask, could possibly be more important than defeating this monstrous evil wizard? Does anyone know, Kelsey? A wedding. Ron's older brother is getting married in a few days, so Ron says simply, "We have to stay for the wedding." Now, your first instinct, like Harry's, might be to think, "That's ridiculous. Voldemort is getting stronger every minute, people are dying, and you want me to go dance and eat cake at a wedding? And wait around even longer?" But I believe that our Holy Scriptures would have sided with Ron on this issue. Over and over again, the Bible tells us that God values play and celebration just as much as, if not more than, work and responsibility. Our Old Testament lesson beautifully describes the great feast that God will prepare for us on the last day, a feast of rich food and well-aged wines, when we will celebrate together that death has been swallowed up forever. In fact, the Old Testament is full of images of our feasting with God in celebration. We hear it in our psalm today as well. You set a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup runs over. Then in our New Testament lesson, the Apostle Paul commands the Philippians, "Rejoice always. Again, I say, rejoice." Paul doesn't just say, rejoice when you're feeling happy, or you can celebrate once you have earned it. Instead, he says, rejoice always, period. And if you know anything about Paul's life, you know that it was not always happy or easy. He frequently suffered persecution, imprisonment, and even torture. So his command to rejoice always has weight behind it. It's not just a flippant platitude suggesting that Christians should always be smiley and cheerful. Paul is talking about a deeper joy, a joy that perseveres in times of suffering as well as in times of gladness. And that comes from knowing who we truly are in Christ. Finally, in our gospel, Jesus tells this chilling parable in which he condemns those who were too busy to go to a wedding. These guests were invited to a grand feast by a king, but they couldn't be bothered to stop what they were doing and come join in the fun. One had to go to his farm, one had to tend to his business, and so forth. When they were invited to this wedding, Jesus said, they made light of it. And Jesus makes it quite clear that he does not approve of making light of something as serious as celebration. We often think of celebration as an indulgence. We live in a culture that is addicted to work and obsessed with productivity. Time is money, as they say. So there is constant pressure to use our time productively. Many of us find our value or our worth in what we can do for other people and what we can churn out or produce. So we watch our time obsessively and we keep ourselves insanely busy. In this cultural context, rest or play or celebration can seem frivolous or unnecessary or even a waste of time and money. But in the kingdom of God, celebration is not an indulgence. Celebration is an imperative. God wants us to enjoy life, not just get through it. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly." Taking a break from work and choosing to celebrate helps us to live that abundant life. It reminds us not to take ourselves quite so seriously all the time and to remember that we can step away from our work for a while, because the fate of the world does not rest on our shoulders, but on God's. Celebration helps us to refocus on what is truly meaningful in life: our relationships with our family and our friends, laughter, love, true and abiding joy. We may not always feel like celebrating, It takes a little bit of work sometimes to plan something, to get dressed, to go celebrate. Sometimes we're tired and we'd rather just sit on the couch and do nothing. And there's a place for that. But practicing joy is a practice. It's a spiritual discipline like any other. And so we build up the muscle of rejoicing by practicing celebration, by making it a habit and doing it intentionally. And when we do that, when we have a habit of celebrating the events in our lives and in the lives of those that we love, it draws our attention to the way that God is working in our lives so that we don't just rush past it in our busyness without noticing. A baby shower draws attention to the miracle that God is bringing a new life into the world. A birthday party reminds us that each new day on this earth is a gift. Celebrating a new job or a promotion or a retirement helps us to be grateful for what we have instead of taking it for granted. So make time for celebration. It's not an indulgence. It's an essential part of the Christian life. When someone invites you to a wedding or a birthday party, go. Celebrate with them and share in their joy. And make a practice of celebrating in your own life, both the big events and the small victories. Slow down the crazy, busy rush of life and pause so that you can savor the moment. Take celebration seriously. Amen.